Hello and welcome back to Burnoutology, the podcast with me, your host, Kelly Swingler, the Burnoutologist. Today we are talking about positivity poisoning. Positivity poisoning. This is Burnout Truth number 15 from 200 Burnout Truths. We've got a long way to go, haven't we? But for today, positivity poisoning. What does it mean? What does it really mean? It is the weaponization of optimism to deny reality. That sounds a bit in depth, Kelly. That's what we're talking about today. Positivity poisoning, what it really means. The weaponization of optimism to deny reality. How to spot it is when we're hearing things like, just be grateful, look on the bright side, choose joy. And why it matters is because it silences suffering and it's rewarding performance over presence. That's what we're talking about today. This is Burnoutology, the podcast. As I said, my name is Kelly Swingler. I'm the Burnoutologist. Over the last decade, I have coached over 700 leaders through burnout, and I have trained coaches from over 14 countries in the Burnout Academy, training them to be burnout aware coaches and also master burnout coaches. I'm also, I'm learning, right? I'm joining the dots. I've been joining the dots with this work now for well over a decade, and doing this work before, I suppose, before we had a World Health Organization definition. So I've been joining the dots, looking at the psychology, the physiology, the neuroscience, what's happening to our nervous system, talking about our energy system, our sense of identity, understanding how toxicity comes into play here. So everything that I talk about really is about this dot joining. And I suppose all of this fits under the heading for me of burnoutology, right? Burnoutology being the study, the full study, the psychology and the neuroscience and the physiology of burnout and what happens there. That's what I've put under this heading of burnoutology. And so this burnoutology podcast really is taking these 200 truths and being able to just give examples of how this stuff shows up for us, what it looks like, what it feels like, what's the reality, how is this coming into play. And as I said, we've got 200 of these. I don't know if I'll be bored of it by then. And I said this when I did the first one. Will I actually be able to get us to 200 truths in the first place? But we're going to see where we go. So this is Burnoutology, the podcast. This is truth number 15, positivity poisoning. As I said, what it means is the weaponization of optimism to deny reality. We're told to just be grateful, to just look on the bright side, to just choose joy. And it matters because it silences suffering and it rewards performance over presence. How many of you have felt this as an individual? If you've experienced burnout, you're just told to continue to look on the bright side. You're told that you get to choose your emotions, right? You're choosing to stay in this state of burnout. Just choose something different. Choose to be more positive. Choose joy. Choose ease. Choose healing. Choose recovery. Choose calm. Right. Stop choosing stress. Stop choosing all of this stuff that you're feeling or experiencing on your own. Right. Just stop. Be grateful for what you've got. There's people out there that would kill to have what you have. There are people out there that would love your life, that would love your work, that would love your team, that would love your relationships, that would love your success. There are people out there that would love your job. Or love your business, right? There are people out there that would kill to get everything that you've got. Just be grateful for what you've got. Burnout isn't about not being grateful. I can remember, so between my first and second burnout, I had left my corporate role. I'd set up my own business. I had grown a business, I'd recruited a team, I'd then left my marriage and I'd moved house and got a new house. I was in split for the first time ever, kind of I'm co-parenting that was the worst thing ever for me and my sons. And I'd started a new relationship where I now had like two additional children, two additional sons to then kind of work towards. And I was in, like, so much was happening. And yet, like, gratitude was something that I was really focused on throughout that whole point. I was grateful every day. I had a gratitude jar. And every day I'd put things in that gratitude jar to be grateful for. I'd be journaling gratitude. I was grateful. With all of the upheaval, I was grateful that I had choices. I was grateful that I'd been able to get out of a relationship, out of my marriage, that would have killed me. I was grateful for the fact that I was no longer in a toxic environment at work. I was grateful that I was able to grow my team. I was grateful that people wanted to work with me and my little company. I was grateful that I was able to pay all of my bills. I was grateful that I had a great income. I was grateful that I'd been able to replace my corporate salary really quickly. I was grateful for so much stuff. And I reached burnout for a second time. And at the same time, as I was nearing that burnout number two, I still had people tell me that I should just be more positive. And I wasn't being negative, but I remember speaking to people in the run-up to my second burnout and talking about the fact that I didn't feel right. Something was missing. Something wasn't working for me. I'd just been told to be more positive. Be more positive. Be more grateful. You've chosen this. And so many people, right, the reason I think that so many managers, leaders, business owners, coaches, the fact that so many people want to choose joy, choose happiness, choose to be positive, is because there is this fear of what happens if we're faced with a reality. Now, I had a conversation with some of the alumni, not the hub is the place where we meet, but some of the alumni last week around, and we've been having this conversation for the last few months around what happens, because burnout aware coaching is different in the fact that we meet the person where they are. What normal, I'll give you that in bunny ears, normal coaching tells us is it's all about moving people forwards, right? It is about positivity. It's about goal setting. It's about moving forwards. It's about solutions. We don't focus on the problem. We don't focus on the thing. We're not looking back. We're constantly looking forwards. And burnout aware coaching isn't necessarily moving people forwards. It's about where are you now? And for me, I think that's a really important pivot, right? It's not therapy. Therapy's backwards, right? What happened to you when you were 3, 6 months? What happened to you when you were 10? I'm in therapy. I'm working with a therapist. And I work with a coach that is forward thinking, forward focus. How will I get the growth? And I suppose burnout aware coaching sits in the middle of that. Where are you now? And most coaches don't want to talk about emotion. They don't want to know how I'm feeling today. If I go into a coaching session, like, Kelly, hi, how are you? Tell me all the good stuff. Tell me all about your growth since last month. And I go, it's been a really difficult month, actually. And it's been a really difficult month because I've had my operation and I'm worried that my business growth is slow, or I'm worried that I'm not going to get the promotion. I'm worried. And they go, oh, okay. Let's talk about your progress. Right? Because most coaches go over it. We don't want to focus on the problem because we're solution focused, right? That may be where you're feeling. And then now let's move through it. Let's keep you going. Let's keep you moving. And sometimes we just need to be here. It's not always about choosing joy. It's not about choosing burnout. It's not about choosing stress. But we also shouldn't be hitting people over the head with a positivity pole and be like, just be more positive, just be more positive, right? You get to choose. And like mindset coaching, right? I'm seeing more and more empowerment coaching come forward It's all about choice, right? You can just choose how you wake up today. You can choose whether today is a good day. You can choose. And of course we can. I do some gorgeous meditations in the morning, right? I choose with my journaling every day. I write down today's going to be a good day. And with a morning meditation, I'm doing a guided morning meditation at the moment. And that guided meditation is about mindset, recognizing what's good, creating a positive outcome for myself today. The reality is I'm recovering from a really big operation. I've got builders in my house. Whilst I'm being looked after and loved by family and friends, I've not had a moment's peace. Like, I've been being babysat for weeks. I'm an introvert that recharges in my own space. I'm not getting that. I haven't got quiet space. I haven't got quiet time. Now, so yes, I can be grateful that the issues that we've had in the house are now being fixed by builders. I can be grateful for the fact that I'm loved and supported so much by family and friends, that I'm being looked after every single day. And the reality is, I just want some fucking downtime. I want to be left alone. I need space. I need to feel like I've healed. I'm frustrated by how long I've been feeling like this for. I want to get back on my feet. I was hoping by now I'd be more healed and more recovered than I am, because all of this has been going on now for well over a year, and I thought I'd be further forward. And at the same time, I can be grateful for my family and my friends and my recovery and my healing and the fact that I've had the operation and the fact that soon I'm going to be back on my feet and life is going to be great and everything's going to be fine. I'm 2 weeks out. I need some patience. That's the reality. But if I've got somebody like, just choose joy, I don't, like, that's not helping me in this situation. I want to choose joy. My reality is, I'm frustrated. That's my reality. So if as a coach or an individual, as a friend, if you're ignoring my reality, or you want to skirt over, well, at least you've had the operation now, everything's going to be fine in a couple of weeks. If you want to skirt over all of that, we're missing the depth of that conversation. And that is where some of this positivity poisoning comes from, right? Where I said in terms of why it matters, right, is because it silences suffering. Now, if I can't say to somebody, I'm pissed off, angry, frustrated, upset, need some alone time, need all this stuff. If I can't voice that, that stuff festers, right? That's the stuff that festers inside us. And this is where we then start to reward the performance over present. Oh, but you're being so good. Oh, well done, Kelly. You've been so kind today. Well done, Kelly. You've been so patient. Well done, Kelly. Like, I don't, like, see me. I see that you're frustrated. What do you need? I might not need anything. Maybe I just need somebody to see that I'm frustrated. That's the difference. Meeting me where I am. Not skirting over it. Well, just choose to be more patient. Choose to be more joyful. Choose to be more grateful. I am grateful and happy and surrounded by love, and I need some alone time and I'm frustrated and I literally want to be back on my feet. This is where we start to create some of this difference. Now, I'm still going to be off. I'm still off for weeks. I'm not back at work until the 17th of November. I'm being kind to myself. I'm being patient. I'm giving myself the space. And I don't need poisoning with positivity. I can be grateful and I can look on the bright side and I can choose joy. And I can be frustrated and angry and sore and in need of some space and in need of some downtime. I want to get back in the car again. I want to be able to go to the shop. I want to be able to go for a nice long dog walk. We've been told that positivity is how we all need to be. I think if we think of it from mindset, it is the difference, isn't it? It's the growth and the fixed. And the assumption is that if we're not being positive, then we must be being negative. We look at it from a growth mindset, fixed mindset perspective. Fixed mindset says, this is how it's going to stay forever. This is, life is awful. I don't know what to do. Growth mindset, right? I'm not feeling that. I'm not feeling right yet. I'm open to learning. I'm open to learning a bit, to be a bit patient. I'm open to learning to see in your perspective. It's probably a really example of a really bad example of fixed and growth mindset, but hopefully you get the idea of where I'm coming from with it, right? But it's we don't need to be poisoning people with positivity all of the time, and burnout aware coaches don't do that. Burnout aware coaches recognize you where you are. And it's not healing the past. But you acknowledge where I am today. And then when we're both acknowledged where I am today, then we can start to move forwards. Again, with my journaling, as I said, I do a lot of it. But even with my journaling, I can wake up some mornings, and I remember, like, a few weeks ago, I was a couple of weeks out of the operation, so what, 4 or 5 weeks ago. I'd woken up on a Monday, and there were things that I wanted to get done. I wanted to record a certain amount of YouTube videos. I wanted to record a certain amount of TikTok videos. I'd already scheduled all of my blogs. I'd already scheduled all of my emails. There was lots and lots of stuff that I needed to do. And I woke up in the morning, and before I'd even got out of bed, I felt overwhelmed by everything. What to wear, how to dress, what would I be eating, what time would I be taking my breaks, what time would the builders be coming, what would this be happening, what would this be happening, what would this be happening, what would this be happening. I felt totally and utterly overwhelmed. I started my journaling, and actually what I needed was just 10 minutes of quiet. So I sat and had 10 minutes of quiet, not journaling, not doing anything. I just gave myself 10 minutes of quiet, and then I did my journaling. And I got really clear on one of the things that I've discovered that makes me really overwhelmed, right? For years, I've worked with business coaches that talk to me because I do my socials, right? I've got my LinkedIn, my TikTok, my Instagram, I've got my YouTube, I've got my blogs, I've got my podcast, I've got my daily emails, I've got lots of stuff. And in addition to that, I'm trying to build a business, trying to get money into the bank, right? There's lots of stuff that I'm doing. And coach a few years ago said, right, just batch create it. Batch record your podcast, batch record this, batch record that. And I realised on this particular day, because I had in my head the amount of podcasts that I wanted to record. I had in my head the amount of YouTube videos that I wanted to do. I had all of this stuff. This is what I need to do. But the instant overwhelm of I need to record 9 YouTube videos. Now, when I'm in the flow, I can do them quite easily. Because actually, if I only need to set up the recording stuff once, right? I need to set up the lighting and the camera angle and the microphone. I do that once and then I can just record. But the initial, I've got 9 videos to do, feels totally overwhelming. And I do need to take it, but if I just need to record one. Batch creating can help me in some instances. When I did all of my emails that my listeners, my email subscribers will be getting, right? I've scheduled all of those until the 20th of November. I've written all of them. I've thought about what needs to happen. I've thought about timeframes. I've thought about everything. But the initial overwhelm I've got all these emails was too much. And I've realised that. And actually putting me into, you know, if you're poisoning me with positivity, I don't need that. I need to be able to see it. All I need to do now is record one podcast and write one email. And once I do that, that's what gets me through it. And I've noticed that's what I think. So people trying to be like, talk me into batch creating, doing all this stuff. This is how to do it. This is the best way to do it. This is what you should be doing. Be grateful. Choose joy. Choose to get over your procrastination. Choose to get over your fear. Choose to get over blah, 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 blah. It doesn't always help me, helpful to me in the moment. some random examples that I've given you today. But hopefully you can see what I mean by positivity poisoning. And that there is a difference between skirting over or around stuff with positivity. We can still be grateful and we can be feeling something. Because, right, emotions aren't like mutually exclusive and they can change. There was, I can't remember her name now. Or her organisation. I want to say In Truth, and I've probably got that completely wrong. There's an amazing woman who, I want to say Nicole Gibson. That might not be her name at all, but she's doing lots and lots of amazing stuff with emotions. And I know, I can't remember the exact stats, I'm not going to quote it all to you, but there was a short snippet video on her LinkedIn quite a few weeks ago now. And she was talking about the fact that, like, from emotions, the speed in which our brain can process them, like, we can be literally feeling different emotions, like, every second. But they're too much, they're too fast for our brain in order to be able to process them properly. Because actually, if we say there is an emotion, there's usually a feeling attached to it. So how am I feeling right now? By the time I start explaining it to you, it could be very, very different to how I was feeling 2 seconds ago, 5 minutes ago. They're ever evolving. And we can be feeling similar things at the same time. Again, I talk a lot about, I'm constantly feeling and experiencing the polarities of life. Everything for me is like one end of the scale and the other end of the scale at exactly the same time. I can be grateful and at the same time, I can be really frustrated and overwhelmed and I need some help with something. And if you don't want to have the conversation with me about the stuff that I need help with because you want to skirt over it, I'm going to stop talking to you about it. I'm going to repress. All of that negative stuff is going to start to fester. And at some point, I'm either going to take that out on you or I'm going to be inadvertently doing some harm to myself mentally, physically, emotionally. I don't mean like choosing to do myself that harm. I mean with what's going on, because it will become too much. So positivity poisoning, burnout truth number 15. What it really means, it's the weaponization of optimism to deny reality. How to spot it? It's when we're like, just be grateful, look on the bright side, choose joy. And why it matters is because it silences suffering and it rewards performance over presence. That has been burnout truth number 15. Thanks very much for joining me. Next week, we are talking about burnout truth number 16. This is productivity cult. What it really means, it's the cultural obsession with output over well-being. How to spot it. Busy equals worthy. Hustle equals honour and rest equals guilt. And it matters because burnout is not a glitch. Thank you very, very much for joining me for today. I am going to be back with you again, or the podcast will be back with you again, next Tuesday at 7 a.m. UK time. If you haven't got your podcast companion, do head to kellyswingdon.com. You can get all of the 200 truths with plenty of space for your podcast notes. And if you haven't already, if you want to start to take the first step to becoming a burnout aware coach, please head to kellyswingdon.com. and get your burnout aware starter kit so that you can start to hopefully see where some of these truths are coming from. I'll be back with you again next week. Thanks very, very much for listening. Take care for now and have an amazing week. Bye bye.